So often, though, we maybe read some stories, and particularly stories like when we, you know, the ones today, that are very kind of great to act out and that sort of thing. We maybe think, oh, it's just a nice story. But before we get to that, I don't know if you've ever come across warning signs. There's obviously lots of different warning signs you'll probably face in life. I found a few that maybe you haven't come across, or maybe you have. The first one is this one. Your GPS is wrong, no, through traffic. There are various other kind of varieties of that one sort of thing. This was a personal favourite of mine. Might take you a moment there, but yeah. Or this another one is quite a good one. Surely, once the doors are closed, how, you know, and if you try to, you've, no, really not. This is another one for you. Or one again that kind of speaks for itself, this next one. Hasn't quite been taken on board. This, though, is my favourite of all the kind of novelty ones, though, that I came across. Although I'm sure that's going to lead some child to go, I'm going to see if that really works. But warning signs, again, are something that you probably come across in life. I mean, one of the classic ones I was thinking of is this one, you know, danger of death. That actually is often put maybe near kind of electricity pylons or that sort of thing. Very much warning that actually if you go in here, you could really do yourself some serious damage and kill yourself because of what's contained, often within those kind of wire cages and that sort of thing. Maybe slightly not as serious as that one, but I think still a genuine sign. Beware the dog. I personally like that variety myself. Not that we have a dog, but I think that would work up the road. Although the most obvious one that I thought of was this one, which obviously is on the platforms. There's one down at Battle, but often like at tube lines and that sort of thing. Mind the gap. The idea that you know, kind of between the platform and the train or whatever, there is some kind of gap, varies depending on the station and the train and that sort of thing. And so you need to be aware of it. But I'm also conscious that kind of sign, we might very think, well, that's kind of obvious, really, isn't it? I mean, I know there's a gap there. Kind of anyone can see that. And maybe the although it's bright yellow and painted on the floor in front of us where we're standing, I wonder whether it's the kind of sign that actually we kind of ignore or we just think is quite obvious, really. But it's the whole idea of saying, look after yourself, take care, stay out of trouble. Now, we find Esther in this story. She was in quite a difficult position because with everything that had happened and the way Haman had kind of orchestrated things and made things, you know, kind of the events that had taken place, her people, the Jews, were in danger of being, I mean, as I said, the word was exterminated, wiped out. Not just kind of one or two, but completely. But yet, for her, she was obviously thinking, but actually, if I try and help, it could end up rather nastily for me. We know how the story goes. We know that in the story, King Xerxes, you know, welcomes her and says, I offer you half, up to half my kingdom. So she needn't have worried. But in that moment, she wonders, actually, you know, if he's not happy to see me, it's going to be the end for me. And so it's not kind of, you know, guaranteed. But as in verse 11, Mordecai, her cousin, says, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends the golden scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was last called to the king. And his response is, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think, he says, that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. And there's that phrase, isn't it? For such a time as this. That is almost at the heart of Esther's story from verse 14. This moment that Mordecai's saying, you know, who knows, maybe actually you are here for this moment to do this, to make a difference, and that is what you need to do. It's that choice that you have. Now, she could have looked after herself. She could have sought to stay out of trouble and even hoped maybe as queen that she would have got away with it if Haman's plan had continued through. But for her, it was that willingness to stand in the gap. And along with that kind of idea of minding the gap, it's actually being willing to stand in the place of maybe someone else. Or to stand up and say, actually, no, this is wrong. This needs to change. Or I don't agree with what's happening here. And I want to make a positive difference. Now, there was no guarantee of what would happen. There was no guarantee that she was going to be absolutely fine and everything was going to work out. She had that choice, and she chose to stand in the gap and put her life on the line. Now, what Esther did was amazing in that story. And it's something that probably none of us would ever really have anything we can parallel it to. We may hear of others doing things, but actually none of us, I'm guessing, will actually have a moment in our lives that is at that level, where our actions will be kind of life and death for thousands of people. But in many ways, what Esther did is just a precursor of what Jesus did, in the way he stood in the gap for every single one of us, for every single person that there ever has been. In Matthew 26 in Gethsemane, he said those words, "Not as I will, but as you will." In that moment, we read how Jesus, even he kind of said, you know, if there's any other way, basically, God, it's kind of what he's alluding to. If there's a plan B here that you've not revealed to me, if we could go with that, because that would be great. But ultimately he says, no. Not what I want, what you want. I'm willing to stand in the gap. And he was willing to die for every single one of us. I suppose the question that I want us to think about this morning is, will we stand in the gap? We're not going to stand in the gap, as I said, like Esther did. We're not going to stand in the gap like Jesus did, partly because we don't need to, but also because we never could. But I believe every single one of us can stand in the gap in different ways as we live our lives. And as disciples of Jesus, he asks us and calls us to follow him. Matthew 28, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He commissions us not to say that it's going to be easy, not to say that by following me it's going to be great and peachy and wonderful and you've got nothing to worry about, but I actually say, no, I want you to go into the world, make a difference for me. And I was trying to think about what it might look like for us, standing in the gap and standing up for others. Maybe it's in the playground. Maybe that's where we do it. Maybe that's where we have to actually make a choice to say, no, I want to do something different. I don't want to go along with what everyone else is doing. Maybe it's at work as things are taking place. And we actually go, no, that's wrong. And I need to speak into that. As we're kind of in the gossip around the photocopier or whatever it looks like. Actually, no, I'm not going to be a part of that. Maybe just within the lives that we live, of those ways that we can practically, we can verbally, but we can stand in the gap for others. Maybe we might think on, you know, the world stage, as we think about those in other places. We prayed for different places this morning. Those who are persecuted, those who are hungry, those who are homeless, those who are marginalized and refugees, actually saying, how are we going to stand in the gap for them? And for some, that means they go off, and maybe there's some here, actually God's going to lead it off to other places in the world. Maybe it's about how we choose to financially support particular charities or individuals or that sort of thing, how we can pray for them. But standing up for others and saying, I want to actually show the love of God to other people. Last week, if you were here with the adults, we look at 1 Corinthians 13, which is a bit in the Bible that talks all about love. And it details what love is when God is concerned. doesn't talk about fluffy hearts and chocolates and those sorts of things, because all those things are nice. But it actually talks about what love is and what it should be and what, as disciples, we should be living our lives as. Maybe it's thinking, how can I actually show love for others this week as I seek to stand in the gap for them, as I seek to stand up for what I believe? Obviously, for Esther, this all worked out okay. For us, it doesn't guarantee that. If we stand up for someone else at work or at school or at college, it may actually mean that we become the butt of people's jokes, or they actually don't like us. There'll be consequences to our actions. But it's asking that question, God, what are you asking me to do? Who can I support? Who can I stand up for? Who can I stand by? How can I say, you know, for such a time as this, this week, as I go about whatever I'm doing, how maybe is this week the week that I'm going to be there for someone else as a follower of Jesus and make a difference for them? I'm going to pray in a moment, and we're going to sing again before the younger ones come back in. And I just want to invite you, maybe as we do this, I've got a load of outlines of little people here at the front. If you want to, maybe you want to come and get one, and maybe just write the name of someone particular who's come to mind. Maybe a situation that you're aware of at the moment, someone who's maybe really struggling, or maybe it's something you've seen on the news, and actually you want to be praying for them, or you want God to show how can you help them. But what does it mean to stand up and stand out and stand in the gap, to be the disciple that Jesus invites us to be, not hidden away, but actually making a difference for him? Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for the truth that we find in your word, and for the different stories that can guide us and teach us. And I pray that you will help each of us to think about how we can stand up for you and stand in the gap for you. How we can think about how we can make a difference in terms of those people that live on our streets or go to our schools or at our workplaces or our friends, or we see and hear about in other places around the world. Help us, Lord, to honour you and glorify you in all we do. Amen.